Blog Talk Radio.
That was Broken by Cesar and Amy Lee. Actually, that's one of my favorite songs, and I really wish the reception on that had come out better. there are some really great lines in there. Because I'm broken when I'm lonesome and I don't feel you when you're gone away. You've gone away. I don't feel it anymore. The worst is over now. We can breathe again. I want to hold you high and steal my pain away. There's so much left to learn and no one left to fight. I love that line. The official music video was made for the version with Amy Lee, and it was shot actually in a trailer park that was burned down by a crystal meth lab. So the video, if you've never seen it, is quite stunning also. And it's just one of those videos that kind of hits you strong, and some of the words that really hit you strong. I really, really love Amy Lee's voice, too. It's very crystal and earth, kind of, I don't know, angelic. Mm-hmm. So if you've never listened to the song, I would actually suggest you do. It was also on the soundtrack of the movie Punisher in 2004. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Block Talk Radio. My name is Sweet. You are on Sweet Discussions and Inside. We are part of the – let me catch my breath. We are part of
– the A.P. Taylor Foundation.
We are part of All Poetry and Inside of All Poetry. I am with a group called Team of Voices. This Team of Voices is brought to you by the AP for Poetry Foundation, which is a fabulous group of poets. And I cannot say enough about the man and the foundation that helps us get us going every morning when we get our muses and say, what are we about? We are about the creativity, the voice, and the production, and the discussion of art in word, in voice, in music, in painting, and anything we can all get together and discuss. Tonight we are going to be discussing the way we hide, the way we hide our pain, where we go to be safe, where we go to kind of shut off our brains for a while. And this is one way we do it. We gather together on various nights here at Team of Voices and talk things through. And talk about different subjects and talk about different things. So we're going to start rocking and rolling, so I'm not the only one talking tonight. It's been a long day, and my mouth is not working with my brain. That's why I have other people in the studio. To begin with, one of my best right hands, the woman that keeps me going, and that is the amazing Pretty Bird. Say hello, Pretty Bird.
Hello, hello.
How are you? Hopefully talking better than me today.
Well, I could always talk. You know, my mouth runs forever.
Good. And right behind you is the amazing Rack and Tor. How is you tonight, Rack?
I'm good. They used to say vaccinated with a phonograph needle.
And right behind you is the amazing, wonderful king of the world, I.P. Taylor. How are you tonight, sir?
I'm very well, Sweet, and lovely to hear the Pretty Bird there with you, too. So, no, I'm in good shape.
Good. And then right behind AP, I believe it is 573 is Infinite Destruction, if I'm correct.
Come on now, you don't know Sinister.
Sinister. Oh, I missed Sinister 573. Mm. I've got another 573 coming on. So I was so wrong. I am so sorry, Sinister. I've got another 573. Oh, see, there it goes. Now it shows me it's sin. How are you tonight, sir?
There's no more 573. I'm the only 573 there is in the world.
Okay, I will let the entire 573 network know. You're the only 573. All right, I will get that. Oh, I have a new one this joint. He's pretty just brand new, and I thought I could get myself rolling, and look what happens when I give a little bit of arrogance. I get shut down right away. Don't do that, Sweet Pea. Not a lot of arrogance. Nope. All right. This is my crew here. AP, are you on a read and run? Because I'm very excited to present your stuff.
I'm sort of between meetings here in the city, so If I could get in, that would be cool.
That would be awesome. So let's go.
Well, yeah, look, now I have to say, Sweet, that I actually, it just does, I have to occasion, I did some research. I did some research. And go figure what happens when you do research, because I was sort of thinking, you know, if you're going to have sort of, you know, rest and downtime and that sort of stuff, you've actually got to have sleep in the first place. And I sort of thought, well, that's sort of cool. How do animals do that? And maybe I shouldn't have thought that, but I did. And so that's where we got to the point of logging, because what those whales are doing on the picture there is that they are asleep and they are what's called logging. And what they do is they shut half their brain down. They shut half the brain down, one side of the brain down. They keep the other half going so they can keep an eye open about what's going on in pods vertically, and they sleep like that. And so that's where I started the poem, or got to in the poem. This is called Logging, and it goes a little bit like this. The mighty lions, it's said they are kings. They go hiding amongst darkest jungles, but lying within are parrots with wings that sing and expand on their bungles. Whales, it's reported, own the five seas and the oceans that link them together. They sleep as half a brain left to seize vertically in pods to the current's tether. Eagles, it's cast, a queen of the clouds, and it's true they fall asleep for hours. Stand locked upright, a branch shrouds, constantly checking from their bowers. So we can see from the animal world, rest is no given, instead well designed. And while pressures burning unfurled, I paint on a canvas, brushes do bind. End poem.
I really love that you went looking and did some research to see, you know, how do the rest of the animal world or kingdoms do, like, relieve stress? And you and I kind of talked about this earlier. The fact that a whale can literally shut down half of its brain, just shut it off, you go to sleep. I'm going to keep this other side open, but you go to sleep, done. Don't have to think about any operations on this side of the brain. Let that brain get fully, you know, refreshed. Then shut down the other half of the brain and let it get fully refreshed. So there is absolute full coherency once we all wake up. I find that fascinating, absolutely fascinating. And while you're thinking of all these lovely creatures bobbing, and that's the other thing, they sweep, you know, vertically in the water. I find that fascinating, too, when they're always horizontal and they're huge. you're painting. You're just painting, and that's where you go. You paint, and you think of odd things about what how the rest of the world is sleeping and de-stressing. So you go into this land, and you go into your brain. You go into your creativity, and I think that's beautiful. And by the way, your poem obviously is perfect cadence, perfect rhyme, and I like everything about it. But I like where you go. You go into your creative self, into your curiosity, you know, and you brought us something I didn't know. But how unadvanced are humans, really, that, you know, we are either, some people can sleep through anything. Like, they can be robbed, can have people walk around them, they can have vacuum cleaners on, and there are some people that can't sleep through anything. Literally, I think an ant could walk across the bed and my husband would be awake. He's like, what was that? Something moved, something around me. I could sleep through people, like, jumping on my bed, and I'm like, what? Something, what happened here? So it amazes me how people's brains work, but to have one fully asleep and then the other one, okay, you're allowed to go to sleep. That's fascinating, absolutely fascinating to me. So thank you for that. Pretty Bird, your thoughts, sleeping brains.
I'm not jealous. It's fine. Me, who never gets to sleep. But they I didn't know that they went half and then they switched. Like, that is, like, just so wonderfully concise and fabulous, you know, like, if I can just put half of mine to sleep, it might actually get some rest. And if I can switch that over, I mean, it may not be equally full all the time, but it's got to be what's going on now. So I absolutely love how you impart knowledge with this. And you've got everything from the jungles to the eagles to the whales in the ocean. But it's how you end this with your de-stressing, with your peace, that I find the most lovely. Because not all of us have a given way that just melts the day away. You know, I think we all need one, but we don't all have one. And by, you know, those people, I mean myself. And so I think that is just lovely and creative to boot. So, you know, you got to love that. I really enjoyed your poem.
Thank you, pretty much. And I have put my latest picture from yesterday up on the board for the record, because I only started sketching and drawing and painting like 6 months ago when Deb said I should. And I have been playing with acrylic paints for a whole week and a half. And so I am still very much learning.
I think it's awesome. I'm loving your smoke.
Absolutely. Raph, what do you think of the sleeping brain?
That's a wild fact that I was not aware of also. You know, I tend to pick up all kinds of crazy trivia from flipping around and reading, and stuff like that tends to stay with me. So I really enjoy little bits of things like that they can do that with their brains. When I was younger, when I would read, my mother used to tell me I could turn my ears off because she could stand right over me and scream at me and I wouldn't hear a word. You know, it was like, you know, what are you doing in that book? I don't know why I'm not hearing you. It's like my ears are turned. I don't know. I'm kind of familiar with the concept, and I like that it extends to the animal kingdom like that, and their method of rest and rejuvenation. You bring it out in the poem and compare it to the rest of the species. And make it more attainable, relatable. So I appreciate that.
Thanks, Ray.
And Sinister, your thoughts?
That would be such a massage. Think about it, man. Sleeping like that. And the waves and just that big body, and it's a pattern of movement, and you capture that very well in your poem and proceed to run through variations in the animal kingdom. So I appreciate that. Good hearing you both.
Everybody say hello to Deborah.
Hey, Deb.
Deborah.
Hey.
Fly away.
I'm sorry?
Did you get to hear the fascinating whale tales?
I just dialed in. However,
okay, that's fine.
And I'm looking at the awesome art on the chat wall. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, AP just read his amazing whale poem, even though that's what it's called, but to me it's the brain poem. So we were just commenting on that. It's brilliant.
Oh, okay, yeah, I heard that.
And we're all very jealous of whales.
I didn't know what you meant.
It was a whale of a pen. I said, sweet, and I'll repeat it now, Deb's here, the reason that I started actually doing any art at all was that Deb said, you should try. And I said, I can't draw. And she said, well, if you're going to do a book and it's going to cost you $25 to get somebody to do sketches for you, are you going to draw? And I said, yes. And so from that, we have gone through a simple sketch of a fern to a teddy bear to Christ knows what to virtual art, to watercolors, and now into acrylic. The sole person in the world that we can blame for this.
No, I blame you because I just learned you're a cheat. You didn't want to spend $20 on a sketch, so you learned to sketch. Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. Because there were going to need to be about, you know, a whole, like, 50 of them. And so you're right, I'm cheap. But inadvertently, I discovered through being cheap that I could actually draw a little bit. And that was kind of strange and weird.
And brilliant.
And I still
that's
don't
awesome
quite get
though.
It.
I
don't mind taking the blame one little bit. Just saying.
That's
there's
awesome.
Things you'd rather spend the money on. That's what he's getting at.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
well.
Great. I love that story. Deb, I know you are in a hurry. You've got to run. You have your son. So if you would lovely. See, I cannot do this tonight. Blah, 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 blah. My tongue is not working. If you would please, my lovely, put your palm on the board.
And I will exit with the boat stage left, sweet. So thank you. And I will trip off into the distance, so to speak.
Have a fabulous
thank
day.
Thank you, AC, very much.
Thank you. Been a pleasure. Thanks, sweet. Have a great show.
Cheers.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
She beat me. Yeah, I was just looking. There's, if you look to the left of the boat, there's a little butterfly picture that I just asked for the new book. Anyway, there's the poem twice, and the title comes from the song, obviously. It's called Spread Sunshine All Over the Place. Just put on a happy face. Here we go. Tar-tinted clouds cover the tangerine sun, shrouding the periwinkle cornflower sky, grounding the twin yellow-feathered finches that perch in vines, hiding till they can fly. They crash without citrus sun's light. As for me, so do I. Without light, the nightmares trap me inside, tossing, thrashing, and turning into darkness spied. Then my voice screams, but silence laughs at me, leaving me scrambling for places to hide. Muscles spasm and squeeze me, cramping 10 toes as 2 feet walk. 10 numb fingertips misfire and cramp, locked in sleep as the nightmares stalk. Pulse races, clawing the escarpment. Now I hang dangling by my fingernails till they rip off my fingers at the cuticles. Then the throbbing ache inside me wails, crawling in the wet quicksand now as horned shadow creatures laugh at me, pointing at me drowning in the darkness, choking and sinking, but people cannot see. Jumping from bed, I go mark the written pages, scribbling lines with big smiles and butterflies, just to hide behind the mirrors and smoke as salt teardrops pour from hazel green eyes. The ache is tucked in the poetry stanzas, and this team of poets is like my medicine. I seek you here and on the digital airwaves, too. You are all the safe place that I wrap myself in. End poem.
Wow, that's amazing. That's absolutely beautiful. I love the ache. This last stanza is great. The ache is tucked in the poetry stanza, and this team of poets is like my medicine. I seek you here in all the digital airways, too. You're all the safe place that I'm wrapped in myself in. I think that's pretty amazing. This is really beautiful. And I apologize for all the noise tonight, guys. I really do. I usually don't have this much noise, but I have people cutting trees down outside in my yard, and it's crazy. It's insane. You bring a lot of joy and all that kind of stuff coming into that, into your happy place. So it's gorgeous.
Thank you, my sweet.
Pretty Bird, your thoughts, and yeah, we should let Sky into the studio.
You know, I kind of envy those who bask in the sun. I am lost in shadows all the time. So I find that the yearning for that is quite lovely because it absolutely beats the alternative. You know, I kind of love that you were inspired by that song because there's a semblance of control there where if you believe it's going to be better, it'll be better. And I love that whole perspective, and especially when you dig into the darker, you know, hanging on by your fingernails and the darkness and the shadows, and instead of sinking in, you force yourself to climb out so that it speaks to your strength. And so I absolutely love that not only do you seek the light, you seem to have found it in all of the peoples, which is quite beautiful.
Thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're very welcome.
Your thoughts on this beautiful poem?
People, this made me think of a smile turning into a really broad grin. You know, you touch a little on the darkness, but you focus a lot more on the light in this, and it's, you know, it's very emotional in that sense too, and it's beautiful. The idea of you know, bleeding onto the page with your words and finding the people to be a safe place is a very relatable thing for me, especially, you know, because to me that's pretty much why I write to begin with. You know, it's to get it off my chest and to you know, let go of it. So I like that idea that you find comfort in it, because it's not always a comforting thing to look at it. And you know, like Pretty Bird mentioned, you know, you kind of have to believe that, you know, well, then what's the point if that's not, you know, why I'm doing it? You know, there's got to be, you know, better. There's got to be that light, the self-actualization or realization, however they put it, whatever that expression is. That there's a lot of power in that, I think. And, you know, sometimes it is a choice, and it's not one that's easy to make. So you put all that on the page in a beautiful way.
Thank you, Raconteur.
I absolutely agree. Hello, Sky. How are you?
I am excellent. And I actually here for Deb Holmes, so I can comment if that's okay.
Yes, please.
And I thought it was excellent. And I love the ending, of course. I thought it was I mean, any safe place that you find is quite wonderful, and I think people who share their poetry together are a bit more vulnerable than even people that you see day to day, because you're getting right to the core of things, right? You're expressing your feelings and memories on the page, and you're letting people into parts of yourself that you may not, even with, as I said, people that you interact with every day. So I thought this was a beautiful piece, really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
Thank you.
And Finn, your thoughts?
Well, I'm sitting outside, I'm trying to read it, but, you know, visualization is a warm hug. And it's, my God, it's a beautiful warm hug. It's a good place to hide.
It is a good place to hide. I like that comment a lot.
Thank you, Sin.
I'm sorry, Deb. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
No, no. Thank you, Sin. I was just saying thank you.
All right. I am going to go ahead and put Sin up. Sinister, if you're ready to read, you're on the board.
Yeah, just one second. I got it. It's transition to the house. Inside the studio. You know, it's a siren for a long time. Okay, so this piece is entitled The Core of the Dream. And when I saw your description for the night, I was like, oh, crap, what am I going to do? And then I thought about this piece, so I just put it up. You know, I don't like to call it hiding, but, you know, going inward is definitely somewhere where we can find ourselves. This is Core 3. Massive waves crash. Tsunami-sized rants into my cerebral. Weighted and worldly afflictions that are drowning me here. I'm encircled overstimulation. Here, they attempted to lobotomize. Such obscure reactions dissolve salty drizzles and stalwart time. Ocean, am I. Screaming silent muffled occasions of revolt against the bruise in your eye. No burden can wash me over now. I'm aquatic encasement of life. Boistering currents splash my once callous opinion, seaside. Releasing into the delta of clarity, the reason nurtures such lives. So quiet. Is the loss of audio refinement, getting lost in gesticulation of why? Still, the storm won't slow over as you the kink in my pastel shine. Want the loose volatility of those aggressions, drift in lush tide, breached in colorful reflections. See, death will always get life. However, still, I'm sweet vibrations of the moon of my becoming. Watch eclipse, release strife. And battle amongst past afflictions in this drowning, I will rewire. Drive this dampened endeavor, I will see the draw in dawn's light. Where's the epicenter of my individuality truly rooted? Core persuasions molten and flowing change to direct me. Upward into ethereal transitions to tear my mind and soul unite. Nourishing this bounty of me once abandoned on wicked shores, dissolved frantically. A myriad of aggravated relations, rubbing raw arrogance of dire neglect. An emaciated plateau shrinking from drought, water table being restored. Crest longitude of progressions into this worldly awareness reborn, somewhat lethargic on overindulgence of which once was held by scorn. Regurgitating sin, swift as mother's ally, wet with veracity to annihilate remedial imperfections. Northern gesticulation in the Syria shows the day come about flush. Leaned against useless purpose to find faith past the fury implied. Access of latitude, binary refraction sign, crystal dystopia under the blind, segment of transitions. Squall line on the eastern shore, quickly influxing this cleansing of me. The flood edit corridors of tacky cerebral, my limbs swollen, sore. I must exact purposeful intent to elevate from where there was decline. Blossoming in galaxies of deep Cruelian progressions will capsize twilight. Upon my serious terrestrial castle, I loom clandestine through time. Like some magical being Jack forgot he dropped. Oh, what has become? As you catastrophe birthing a modern-day world's wonder, that is I. I place the sidewalk ended and runways into the ethereal begun like fuck. Is he headed? Isn't me. As my portals bleed, fast epiphany of welcoming horizons. My resilience and armor to house a lineage core of three. Housing four. And so much more. Assuring myself these illusions are as these divisions of which I am crystal clear. Free ambience. To intake worldly pleasures by each tangible right. And cruelly imply indulge wings. Like a sinister objection cut through this life into the adamant that brims this line. I diluted archaic rhetoric, dicing the obscene and nourishing droplets that fall like rain, opening my interior to bleed sterile under the intrinsic sun. Like a little magic, the flooded soul once hijacked, there's twilight, and you're birthing my soul, my pen, will capsize the mockery breathing and peace.
Wow. There's a lot of great lines in here. I am sweet vibrations, the moon of my becoming. Watch eclipse release thrice. Or the epicenter of my individuality truly rooted. Poor persuasion of molten and flowing change to direct me. Like some magical beam Jack forgot he dropped. Or what has become. I love the nod to where the sidewalk ends, a place the sidewalk ended and runways into the eternal have begun. Opening the interior to bleed sterile under the intricate sun, like a little magic inside a soul once hijacked, there's twilight and rebirthing my soul, my pen capsized. And, you know, where I hide is in the open. That's very true. You know, some people wear their soul right up there, their hearts right on their sleeves, and, you know, I am who I am, and this is what I am, and this is all that I am. And the intensity of that helps them get through everything, to be that raw and open, and that's all you can be, and that's all I can be. And I really love that perception and that vibrance. It's an amazing way to be. You know, be all you are. That's great. And I love regurgitating sin. That's one of my favorite things I've heard, regurgitating sin, because we're going to commit the same things over and over again. That's who we are. We're human. Great piece. Wonderful read. Pretty Bird, your thoughts?
Well, those who know me know that I value honesty above all else, and there's something beautiful in self-acceptance, because it's rare to truly accept oneself with whatever, I don't want to call them imperfections, because that's not what they are, whatever societal abnormalities there may be, and Lord knows I have many, but this poem is not a straight line, and it is a little frantic and a little fabulous, and it shows how much you know yourself, how much you know how some days it's a fight to find a straight path, and some days, you know, you drown in the deluge and you swim your way out of it, and it's that core of three is a beautiful, beautiful place. To, you know, we all need a reason to bigger than ourselves to push through things that want to weigh us down. And I thought that this was a lovely depiction of that and all of its truth and all of its angles. And your little mini poem there with all your little short line, it like little intermittent things is beautiful in and of itself as well. It's not easy to be that open.
And Sky, your thoughts?
Yeah, I feel like next one, please. I always enjoy when you do these one line, or rather, one or two word transitions. I see them a lot in your writing, and I really enjoy that the way that you transition then to the next couple of stanzas, except especially when you use these long lines like these. I have to say I also kind of picked up on a sidewalk ending as well. I'm a big Shel Silverstein fan, so I think the idea of even in a loss of innocence with looking at a book that's, you know, young readers and then going in to the subject that you have, I like that metaphor if that's what you're going with. That's what I got of it. But also I have to say, too, I mean, previous, what Pretty Bird said, it's very messy. And I think life is messy. Your lines always aren't very potent. You have to really take and chew a little bit at a time. You can definitely take a long time for each stanza and to go through it. And you did a great job. Really well done.
Hello, my Hatter.
Unmuted. Hi, guys.
How are you?
Hey, Hatter.
Hey. Hey, Deb. Nice guy. Guys, guy.
Mr. Hat.
Deb just left us.
Hey.
I don't know if you had a chance to hear Sin's poem.
No, I didn't. Sorry.
Okay. Back in tour, can I get a comment then from you?
I enjoyed this. To me, the thing that struck out was a lot of your references to water, but it's not exclusively about water, because that to me, you know, related to the idea of, you know, drowning or treading water and just getting by. Very emotional, and again, I find it very relatable, especially as a metaphor. And then you extended that throughout and went well beyond that in quite a few places, you know, including the sidewalk that everyone keeps mentioning. That was brilliant. But the whole piece was kind of like that for me, in that, you know, you're talking about your struggle, and the idea of it's I won't say a common expression, but I've heard it, you know, a lot, you know, when they say hide in plain sight. You know, there's a lot of truth to that. Sometimes people overlook the obvious, or they just look through something, and that's an easy way to hide. It's like, you know, people notice the movement, or they notice someone trying to hide. But if you're not trying to hide and you're just being you, then sometimes people look right through you. So that's a way of hiding. And I think you brought that out in this piece, and I enjoyed the whole thing very much.
Absolutely. All right. I actually threw me up. It's very difficult.
Must have been something I ate.
Yeah, it must have been something I ate. I have me up. It's very short and sweet, so I hope you enjoy it. Yes. It's called Too Lazy to Do Yoga. Oceanic waves abide by moon's commands. Fish swim upstream, the black bears eat. Mountain flowers flourish in colors of red, pink, yellows, and blues. And leaves return to fever and fall in hues of gold, orange, and crimson. I, the watcher of the changes, enjoy the world and with sensible resolve. I do not downward dog in hot boxes. A new yoga technique, finding my inner chakra versus my hair. I will never comprehend what my third eye will foresee as I drip with sweat profusely. I read the teaching of the Tao of the belly of the Buddha, cross the River Jordan. I found my peace on a blanket as the ocean washed my feet. With her gentle tide, and my eyes look to the mountain peaks that kiss the skies. Illusion and enlightenment, too lazy to do yoga. I lie here on the beach, warm by the sun. I stretch out my body and drift off sleep and home.
Girl, we are so kindred. You know... Yeah, yoga ain't my jam either, but there's something about a lapping ocean. And you don't actually have to go in the water. You just have to be near the water. It completely just, it's calming. It cleanses your aura. It cleanses my aura. I don't know what it does to you, but it sounds like it cleanses your aura. And it's soothing. And for me, it doesn't matter if it's day or night. I tend to prefer yoga. I like, because I live in Florida and it's hot as Hades, but just being close to it, whether it's in the distance where you can see it, or that can be enough on a stressful day. But when you're up close and personal, if you're right there as the tide's coming in and it just kisses your feet as you're in your little chair, and it's everything just kind of washes away. And so I absolutely, yeah, who needs yoga when you have the ocean? So, Raconteur, what are your thoughts of the beach?
I like the idea of, you know, not putting a label on it, you know, and calling, you know, you want to call it yoga, you want to call it downward dog or whatever, you're still finding your happy place regardless of what the hell you want to call it. And you know, you're gonna be what you're gonna be, and you know, that's all there is to it. And you know, it's that attitude that you know, I am what I am, that I think a lot of people like about you, because you know, it comes across as assertive and powerful, but at the same time, you know, you could be soft. So I and vulnerable, but you know, we won't discuss that. I thought it was great. I enjoyed it very much.
Thank you.
And Sinister, your thoughts?
I don't know. I lost myself. Where was I? Okay.
You're on the beach.
Yeah, the beach. No, I was upward stance. Boggy dog or something, man. I'm so high, I couldn't do it, man. But, yeah, I like, you know, it's in the recognition of where our lines are drawn and what we came to in that sand, you know, and build castles in the fucking sky that way. It's a beautiful piece.
Thank you, Sin.
I concur. And Sky, your thoughts?
I thought it was an excellent piece, and I like the reading that you know, you kind of pull the reader in with this beautiful background, of course, settling in, and then you go into the yoga. I do not downward dog, and the hot boxes and yoga technique, finding my inner chakra, frizzies my hair. I thought that was funny. I've read a lot of like chakra books and things like that, but I have to admit, yoga is not for me either. I'd rather go swimming. This is just, I really liked it. I thought it was humorous, but also very endearing, and the two really melted well together in this thing. Yeah, I'm just going to sit here and just soak up the sun and not do all that work. So I really enjoyed it. Really well done.
Thank you.
And Hatter.
Yeah, it's a... Yeah, what is the downward dog?
That's when your butt is up in the air and your hands and feet are on the floor.
It's a yoga position.
Okay. Yeah, one of the best selling things at the, I used to manage the athletic clubs, and one of the best selling, when you get guys thinking of joining, you'd take them to the pool when the girls are out there, of course. But we had viewing courts, handball and racquetball courts, and they would have yoga classes inside. And they never had on their list of what they wanted to accomplish, what they wanted to do at the gym was yoga. But after I showed them who was in the yoga class, I told them to sit in the back. It became quite popular. I like it. It brought back memories to chicks in their yoga mats, huh?
Well, Sleepy may not do yoga, but she sure rocks the yoga pants.
You know, the one problem with that is, yeah, go ahead.
I have nothing to say. You guys are off the charts right now.
That's right. The yoga pants speak for themselves.
Oh, my goodness. This is Thursday.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
Creeper, we're going to have to start bringing witches to this show sometimes.
All right, then.
I'm telling you. All right, Hatter, I have you up. It's time for you to read.
Oh, you saw that. Okay.
Yes.
I've been in a slump. I haven't been able to write. So that's my disclaimer. Hold on, I got a cough.
Okay,
back. It's called You're Late, I See You Missed the OD. It was like this. The silent steps on the spiral case, I tripped asleep to find this place. The woods called Muir and the and a trolled estate, spiral steps with tiny drawers and nothing that I could take. You made, I see, you missed the OD. You need to silence your thoughts. Call if you're early. Don't if you're not. Top the case in this hidden place in the corner above the door, I hum the songs that were never sung, so I won't know if I am poor. Swing open, let the blues rush by, filling the trees with my sky, sky, sky. Cross the aisle to the other side, a world where I cannot ever, never cry. I watch from a pyramid on levels with carpet foam floors. Listen if you might from the corner above the door. Word break away on cold winter days to gather among the smattering of trash, seeking what's true. Could that really be you? You're like a bad reoccurring rash. Chaos to calm again. I don't know where to try to begin, so I watch from above the door. I hear the whispers that once had roared. I was stuck on that ending. I couldn't. So, sorry.
I like that ending.
The count, the cadence wrong.
Oh, you and your
Thank
freaking
you.
Rhyme cadences. I love chaos to come. I don't know where to begin. So as I watch from door, I hear the whispers that once had roared. That's pretty powerful.
Well, it sounded better when you read it.
Well, it's very torturing. It's like you're still hearing that, you know, you're still in that cycle. But, you know, wow. This is pretty intense, Hatter. You're late, I see. You miss the OD. You silence your thoughts. Call if you're early. Don't if you're not. Wow, this is pretty powerful. It's like you're in a very, very bad dream you can't get out of.
Yeah. There was a place that I would visit in my REM sleep that I tried to describe in this somewhat.
Wow.
The actual place. Yeah.
You're like a bad recurring rash. I don't want to go back there. And especially just talking to you. There's so much, like, it's like there's a layer of depth that's under a layer of depth. Like something wants to come out at you. You know, like it's like wants to crawl out of your skin, but if it does, it'll just destroy you. So you don't want it to. And it's like you've almost got it squashed, but it's still whispering in your ear and whispering in your ear. And it will almost just kill you if you let it out. It's pretty badass, dude. Pretty bridge of thoughts, man.
You know, you really kind of let us crawl into that space where you kind of want to be taken out of it, but it lingers, and it's. I have this weird kinship with darkness and pain. It's the only consistent thing that never lets me down. So, you know, you got to love it for what it is, even if you don't love going through it, you know? And there is first of all, my favorite thing is filling the trees with my sky, 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 because, of course, and I love that. But that whole swing open and let the blues rush by, that is a hard thing to find, and whether you get a little medicinal help or you try to find a place that cleanses your mind palate on its own, you know, it is a beautiful concept, even though for me it is seldom reached. I long for the day where I could at will, you know, take a deep inhale of all the good things and exhale all the bad things, and I one day I will that to work. But it was lovely, and it's you know, things linger like that, you know, reoccurring rash, which is unpleasant. Those thoughts, those little it's like a virus, you know, it spreads throughout your entire psyche sometimes. And, you know, I like the way you put it, you know, that whole chaos to calm, you know, it's a process, and it seems like it's a never ending process, you know, because neither the chaos nor the calm really last all that long in and of itself, but that transition is a bitch. So I thought you did a great job with this.
Thank you. You're very welcome.
And Sky, since you mentioned, what do you think?
Well, I'm not really mentioned. Just can't think of say Sky anymore without saying
I know. I did that.
This was an excellent piece. And, you know, the section here, you know, you're late, I see you, Miss DOD. I mean, it's a powerful line in and of itself, but to follow it up, you know, with a top, the case, the hidden place in the corner above the door. I hum the songs that were never sung, so I won't know if I am poor. I really love that stanza. I thought it was very powerful and very thoughtful in the idea of all those things that we never get to have and who don't have certain things kind of become complacent in what they have and don't realize some of the things that they're missing. Well, they can't really put their finger on it, but they still feel it intensely. So it's kind of this duality, and that's kind of what I thought about. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky, very much.
All three of you.
Yeah.
Wow.
Multiply.
Rack, your thoughts on that?
I enjoyed this chatter. It's kind of close attention to the attempts to find that inner balance, but you know how it could be like right there and you still miss it. It's very contemplative in that sense, and I think you know some people can have it you know right in front of them and even you know kind of venture through it without even realizing it, you know, they attain it and then somehow mess it up unintentionally and don't even realize that they had it, you know. It's rough, and you talk about it in a way that makes sense out of the confusion. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you, Rack. Yeah, it was the place that in REM sleep I was ODing every day. And that's where I would want. That's where I wanted to go. You know.
Yeah.
Place of levels and. You know. Thank you, Rick. Thank you, guys.
Wow. Guy, did you bring me a poem?
I have a poem for you, but not yet. So, and
okay.
I'm going to step a little bit because if you can't tell by my. You know, I took a nap, and I woke up when I called you. That's why I sound like this.
Okay, not a problem. Pretty Bird.
Yes, love.
Let me see where we're at. If we want to play Steven, and while we're doing that, if you want to look over Pee-wee, and then I'll have you read Pee-wee after Steven's.
That works.
Okay.
Ladies,
bye, Hatter. We
guys,
love
I
you.
Got,
bye, Hatter.
Yeah, I'll try to call back if you're still on when I get done. Okay, thanks.
Okay,
did
bye.
Did you want to have, since we're halfway through the show, did you want to have Rack talk about his rescheduling of the show?
Absolutely. I would love that.
So it's going to be tomorrow at 8, between 8 and 10. It's going to be a season, a reason, or a lifetime. I don't know how much more you could say about it. You know, people, it's not about the people that you don't remember. It's the people that make an impression on you and, you know, they wind up in your life and for whatever reason, you remember them. So.
Well, Rack, you're going to have a few more minutes to talk about your show because I guess Pee-wee did get a SoundCloud in. We got a little kiwi too.
Well, I was gonna say, come to the show. There's not gonna be coffee and donuts, but according to Kevin, there will be cookies.
There will be cookies. Ha! Huh, you're funny. You're a funny, funny man. So I'm waiting for Dad. Okay. I know, because you're full of puns. You're a punny one. All right. Silky, I want you just to bring something. All right, let me go back to my thing as we're talking about safe places to hide. Oh. I need to hide. Okay, so, yes?
If Pee-wee is listening, he needs to unlock his SoundCloud so I can load it. It's set to private.
Yeah, Pee-wee, we can unlock you if you're set to private. I think he's listening because he just said to me, I put a SoundCloud in.
Oh,
well,
no, it fixed itself. Never mind.
Okay,
no,
okay.
He probably heard you say it and unclicked it.
Anyway, so I was like you. I used to read books. They were my, like, where I dropped in and I couldn't hear a word. I never heard anybody talk to me or anything like that. So I wonder if a lot of writers do that. We just dive into books and we fall into that and we never hear anyone outside of that.
I loved it, but I hated it because when I started reading on the subway going to work, I would end up missing my stop.
Yeah, well, that's not
it's like four stops later, I'm like, oh, shit, I'm supposed to be going to work.
Daryl, where did Rack and Tur go? Wasn't he supposed to be here, you know? Somebody, we forgot Rack. Oh, well, we'll find him again. He's in a book. That's funny. Oh, my goodness. Ow. Well, the people have done cutting down my trees. I felt so bad, you guys. I really do apologize. Oh. Trees, oh, trees, oh, trees. So noisy and driving my dogs nuts, as you can imagine.
You're branching out.
No, I'm leaving my branches. Totally leaving all the branches.
So I'm barking up the wrong tree. I got it.
Yeah, you are barking off the wrong tree because they have to go away. There's nothing else we can do. They all have to go away. They're hanging over the house wrong. That's what happens. You know, it is what it is. I'm trying to get back. I lost Team of Voices. Now I'm back. Ah, persnickety. I like that word.
We were pining
like
away for you.
Yeah.
Okay, so fingers crossed that this YouTube converter worked for Steven, but I went through four of them. So being that I couldn't test it because I'm on the air, you know, we're going to hope that it worked.
All right, so here we go with Steven, who just had his novella published. So congratulations on that.
Awesome.
I'm very excited for you. Yes, I cannot wait to read it. So everybody, heads up on that. Ow. And so let's click on Mr. Steven. And I will click
Ice
on
Cream
Mr.
Sunsets
Steven.
Leave Worries Buried on the Sandbar by Steven 76. The pink Catawba sunset that blushes the evening sky dips its bristles into eerie horizon, blending sweet and dry into Great Lake Mimosa. The moon skims the shimmering surface, cleaning all dyes to ebony waters as it sings its silent lullaby to the yellow perch who lie in the weeded depths, leaving us in awe as frozen desserts melt into sugar slurry and waves meeting sand pull Acuity's reflections away from frigid chapters, burying them on the sandbar. Then we follow halogen beams home along the curving lake shore. End poem.
Well, there you go. That was pretty. I like that. I mean, the thing, I have a very soft spot for when Stephen talks about the lake. And I kind of crawl into that lake with him. The lake he talks about is a lake that I used to also run away and hide to and sit out and watch and be a part of. It is, he talks about Lake Erie. And I lived off of Lake Erie. I read my books off looking out at the lake. From my bedroom window, you could look out and I could see the lighthouse. And
that was
there were
you.
Many a night I would yeah, that's me. I would watch the lighthouse and I would watch the ships and I would fall asleep to the sun coming down over the lake and the lighthouse and watch and just go to sleep to that. So when he talks about that, and I know he's not, you know, I think about the lake. I think about Lake Erie, and it's such a beautiful place. And I know it gets made fun of and all of that, the you know, Cleveland is a mistake on the lake. But the lake's not a mistake, just a city. It's such a beautiful place. And like Pretty Boy said, water is water, and it's just beautiful. I really do love this, Stephen. So many, many things. And, you know, his notes say that this is one of the many evenings Kay and I watch the sunset over Lake Erie. And, you know, sometimes I'm like, I'm going to someday go home and go back to the lake. And then I'm like, oh, hell no, it's 100% of humidity and everything like that. I'm going to stick here in my mountains. But when I go home, I really do love that. So I another beautiful Lake Erie poem. Thank you, Stephen, for sharing it. It definitely gives me melancholy and makes me homesick. So, Pretty Bird, what are your thoughts on that beautiful poem?
Well, there's something for a powerful brevity, and for water babies, you know, we're all kindred. There is that peace. And sometimes it just takes, you know, a sunset. Sometimes it just takes a 5-minute stop on your way home. But to linger and have those moments on a hot evening where your ice cream's melting and it doesn't really take all that long to eat ice cream or for that to melt. And so, you know, those brief moments that you don't really need to talk. You just can enjoy and, you know, laugh a little bit and just be that. Well, I swear water just washes it away. It just absorbs the daily grinds and leaves you in a much better mindset without doing anything but sharing space. So I thought he depicted that beautifully.
Absolutely. And Sky, dear, your thoughts?
Well, I love how I'm glad to say, because I know that this is something I'd like to go to one. And walk the boardwalk and have ice cream. And I think it's really important to take time out of your life to do those things for yourself and with people that you love. And I like when he drops the picture a day and we get to see it and share it as well. And this piece really reflects on that and that commitment, I think, to making the time, which isn't always easy and isn't always obtainable, but it's very, very important to try and live and less. So really well done.
Rack?
Yeah, I think it's the world can be an ugly place, so it's easy to hide in the beauty of you know, the shores of a lake or by the water. Excuse me. Yeah, he paints a beautiful picture of it. You know, I could kind of see him just sitting there instead of an artist with an easel, just, you know, putting down, you know, a few words on paper and recording the moment for posterity. It's beautiful, Stephen.
Absolutely. All right, next we're going to ruffle up Mr. Peewee.
Are you hitting the button or am I?
You can go ahead.
Thank you. this moon sought refuge here. Mirror, I can't truly say. It's been made crystal, so very clear. Lighted eyes won't see day. Bastion of sanity, escaping head, once friendly confines. Confinement, fill my mind with dread, finally showing signs. Here, fearing I'll never be free. Times, they're too tall. Fortified, these walls I see. Fall, they'll crush us all. Absence of natural light, I've rooted, withered away. Sapling knowing dark and night, rooted in despair and pain. Faded wraith of a ghost of a man, I had once laid claim. Inside ethereal wispy wheel, fans anything but my shame.
That's another amazing read by Mr. Peewee. Another amazing poem. Pretty Bird, that would be Infinite. Go ahead and we will say hi to him.
And is that Silk?
Hello.
That's hello, how are
hey.
You?
How's everyone doing?
Hello,
best,
Silk.
Best I ever can at the moment, I suppose.
Hold on, Silk. I'm saying hi to Infinite Destruction, too, at the same time. So I've got Infinite and Silk that just joined us. Infinite, we are going to get some comments on that amazing read by Peewee, because that was one hell of a poem. I love Bastion of Sanity, Escape and Head, Once Friendly Confound, Filled My Mind with Dread. Finally showing signs. And your last stanza, wow. Faded wrath of a ghost of a man I had once laid claim. Inside earth wheel, wispy wheel sands, anything but my shame. Wow, I just, you know, you blow me away every time I read your rights. And then you blow me away with the death of your rights. And then, now you're blowing me away with the contemplation that I'm going to have to go back and think about. Faded wrath of a ghost of a man. Anything but my shame. All right, knock it off. That is powerful. It is almost something that I have to say, do I feel that way? Is that me? No. Is that regret? Is that something I should be aware of? But there is no absolute, and there is no absolution. So why should there ever be shame? I don't know. Rooted in despair and pain. But anyway, we could have a very long conversation about this, and I don't have time for that, but I love that, FYI. Pretty Bird, your thoughts, my dear.
I'm stuck on your there is no absolutes and there is no absolution. I'm like, well, all right, now I'm going to have to, like, borrow that for inspiration because it's in my head.
Oh, okay, I borrowed that from him, FYI. That's the
oh, is that in
quote.
Here?
No, that was something else we were talking about. But that
oh,
is
I was
going to
say.
Mine.
So where was I? I thought I was following. Okay, I have one little SoundCloud thing before I get into the fabulousness. If you are going to speak slowly, you have to turn the music way down because you're fighting our auditorily speaking. It took me a long time to figure out SoundCloud because it's not the same recording songs as it is recording a voice for reading. So just a little earned knowledge, but I love how you read this. Now, that kind of soft growl in your voice really added to the poignancy of your words, because it really sounded like a giant exhale of almost, you know, giving up, like of that kind of the weight of all those years. It came across really, really vibrantly and was painful. So you got to love the poem that starts with intestines gnarled, brain screams, a place I'm very familiar with. It's not easy to hide inside ourselves. I mean, it looks like it is because to a certain extent, because we don't always share ourselves with everybody. We all have our own little private parts, you know, and not in a good way, but we do have our own little private sectors of our brain. But when you close that off to the point where you cannot breathe, where you don't even want to see outside because you're so stuck in the semblance of failure, of lost dreams, of things that you've had to do instead of what you wanted to do, or things that have taken you down a different fork in the path of life, it will drive you mad. All those little things that take you away from who you thought you were, who you want to be, or the difference between who you are and who people think you are, all of it weighs. And you get locked in that the jail cell of your mind, where the air is stagnant and it's regurgitated and it no longer sustains sanity. And I think that was beautifully portrayed.
Yeah. Brilliant. Rockin' Tour, your thoughts?
I like this. It made me think more along the lines of not where you go to hide, but that there's no place to hide, because everywhere you turn, there's something that you're afraid of. There's something that's going to, you know, compete with you and make you crazy. So no matter where you turn, there's no place to hide. At least that was the overall impression that I felt. I enjoyed it very much.
All right. Guy, your thoughts?
I thought it was an excellent piece. I liked the metaphor of the rooted and being underground and not having light to thrive. In a weird way, it reminded me of overnight and how people, or at least I, was not well over overnight. Because there was such a darkness. But going even further down where in this section, in the absence of natural light, I brooded, withered away, a sapling knowing dark of night, rooted in despair and pain. I liked that metaphor, that idea of light, not only physical light or taking it more tangible, but the metaphor of what that light can represent in the means of happiness. And without it, you know, how you can descend so quickly and so far. Really well done.
All right. Infinite, your thoughts, and then I need to throw your poem on the board because I know you got to read it.
All right. Yes. Stanza that stuck out to me, Aegis Moon sought refuge here, mirror I can't truly say, it's been made crystal so very clear, blighted eyes won't see day. I have this feeling from this, the Aegis Moons being, you know, the twinkles of hope that you brought to this place, to this, you know, as I say, this crop, this field that you wanted to, you know, you wanted to see them flourish, but it ended up being that where you placed them or where you came to was destined for failure. And you feel like all of your hopes that you planted in, you know, and wanting to see them succeed ended up crashing in and collapsing in on you. The mirror being that, you look at your reflection, you look in what you intended, and then look at who you are now, and it just, it's absolutely, you know, not what you were looking for. the blighted eyes won't see day. So your eyes have now been scorned by looking even at your own self and who you feel like you've become. And the that spoke to me. I feel that a lot, you know. And overall, this is an incredible write. Great read. I love all of the different facets and just this raw energy of your heart poured out in ink on this piece. Excellent work. I loved it.
All right. Throw your poem on the board.
Right.
And you can read, sir.
This wasn't specifically written for the show, but it's called My Carousel of Hell. It's similar to the aspect of being stuck in your own place that isn't exactly, you know, great, but you kind of fallen in love with it because it's the only place that seems real. I'll go ahead and start reading it. Spinning for air in this room with such terrifying terror, you'd assume that I so frail have failed to beat this tale of darkness that doth loom. And in that jaded, shaded, pessimistic way of thought did my captors enrapture me with chains of iron wrought. But in thy mind, as so did I, ye shall find, in this battle I bought, 'twas defeat I truly sought. Yes, though thy ears hear fear, it shall appear in this rut I am cut, shedding pain like a lover's tear. And with such breath in this waltz of death, these woes doth grow with romantic cheer. To atone my bones alone I break and bear, pouring out like a fount my desert sand blood I share. Yes, so manic tantric is my panic, dire lust I trust to this carnivorous affair. In this drowning rounding my heart forlorn shall sail, to stepping off I'll scoff, no end to this daunting tale. Till in sleeping, weeping dust I am encased, I'll be riding, gliding upon this, my carousel of hell. In poem.
I don't know if that's a place you should get used to being on, but that's a hell of a poem.
Thank you.
I like the imagery on it. I think it's fantastic. Though thy ears fear, it shall appear. In this rut I'm cut, shedding pain like a lover's tear. You always have great rhyme and cadence in your poems. Yes, so manic, dire lust. I love your words. I love how you use language. You definitely have a way with bringing people into your poems, bringing people into that moment with you, that panic, that rush, that feeling, that sense of urgency, what you're doing. And I think you did it again with this poem. It's there, it's now, it's steal me, fear me, this is where I'm at. And like I said, I wouldn't want to make this my familiar, but you made it yours. And wow, that's not a ride I'd want to be on constantly. But very well done. Pre-bird, your thoughts.
Thank you.
Oh, I know this ride very, very well. It's not a fun place to be. But I had said earlier in the show that I've got this weird kinship with pain and darkness because it doesn't let you down. And there's a certain amount of comfort in that. I mean, it sounds all sad and pathetic, but it's true. It's everything else at some point or another, even love will let you down. It'll turn you sideways. Pain will always hurt. And so there is comfort in that consistency. But there's also desolation. and it's not something that is shared easily to its truest depths. And to atone my bones alone, I break and bear, pouring out with me. I love that. My desert sand blood. It's like you've given everything and that's all that's left. You know, blood dry. You give and you give and you give. And you still find yourself in that place, you know. And those chains, my captors enrapture me with chains of iron wrought. And for me, those chains are words or actions or non-actions, all those little tiny things that build those barricades that lock you in because it hurts. And it's not an easy place to escape. That comfort is better than the actual jagged new pain. And so I feel you. This resonates.
But it's like you completely, perfectly understood where I was coming from when I wrote this. Thank you so much. That's a wonderful comment.
Oh, you're very welcome. I told you. I live in that spot. It's very familiar.
Oh, pretty bird. You are an amazing woman. Rocky, what are your thoughts?
I don't know. I'm a jumble. It's emotional. It's moving. It's not sure what to say.
That's perfect. I like you are a jungle. So, your thoughts?
If I can get unmuted here. Yeah, it's hard to top what you and Pretty Bird said, but I love that last or that second last stanza that Pretty Bird was saying, but also I really love this second one where it says, in that jaded, pessimistic way of thought, this my captor's entrapture, me with chains of iron rot, but in thy mind, as so did I, ye shall find this, in this battle I bought was defeat I truly sought. I liked how it's such great wordplay there with the turning around the battle bot and the defeat truly sought line, especially. And, it had a very good I love the old kind of world feel and language, the darkness of it. I always enjoy a good piece of darkness, and this definitely had that. And great rhyme, great structure, great setup. I really dug it.
Thanks, man. Thank you both.
Absolutely. And Sky, your thoughts, my love.
I thought that was excellent, too. I liked the metaphor and the idea of the carousel and kind of not being able to get off. And when trying to find a safe place, when you feel like you're just stuck on this, it definitely can be a terrible place to be. I think my favorite, the idea of the carousel paired in with the breath and this waltz of death, woes, death row, and this romantic cheer. I think those are some of my favorite lines. And then the tantric is my panic. The language paired together is really well done.
Thank you very much.
Okay, Sky. Throw your poem on the board. It is your turn to read.
Thank you all so much for having me on the show. I hate to read and run, but it's getting late, and 6:30 calls way too early.
I've done it, so I understand. Thank you for being on my show. I greatly appreciate it.
Have a good night.
Thanks for having me. Y'all have a great night.
You too.
Bye.
You too.
Right, this is like an old safe place, but I guess he still is my safe place. But this is to my brother. When we were little, he was always my safe place. So this is of Legos and Legends. You found treasure beneath the sandy shores of lava pits, grains that chirped and buried roots of beanstalk ladder, as we traversed the universe like monkeys perched on barks. Days of discovered travels as coins sift through pocket holes, the ones we lost yet weigh down the soul. We never were dismayed by the tail and teeth of Morla, shelled coats and claws of snarling crocs, an underground kingdom of mystery and passage, of Fantasia and Narnia built of Lego blocks and tea lights. And when we found ourselves barefooted in empty palms, naive of that slow, carnivorous snow, burying itself in used marrow, a place where all the great red buffalo had been hunted, and frosted star leaves began to wither, like pine drops in sky. You learned to speak such myriad languages of ever after, tongues of prancing antelopes and white polar bears. You found our way across pooling waters, and somehow filled them with tumbleweeds and jewel stems. You built a home out of Legos and legends of what might be, a castle just below the surface of the playground gravel, grains of sand turned lava, secret passages of dream realm, the ones that lie awake long after they have faded into memory. And poem.
Wow, I really like that. You know, I think one of my older brothers was probably more protective than the rest, and maybe he was and maybe he wasn't, and sometimes it switched, but I had three, and I think this is a beautiful tribute to him. And I think you did write a beautiful piece for him, and as always, it's done splendidly in beautiful language and beautiful things, and my sky never disappoints. And I love that picture, by the way. Days of discovered travel, this coin sieves through pocket holes, the ones we lost yet weighed down the soul. It's great to have somebody in your life that no matter what happens, you can always go there. And you can always feel that hand, you know, that you can hold. And, you know, it's that safe place, that tide that binds. I really, really like this guy. And I love the title. I really love the title a lot. Pretty Bird, Your Thoughts.
Thank you, sweet.
You know, it's a good thing I love you, Sky, because I kind of hate you. I'm just saying. I'm not fond of being emotional in public. But you kill me. You absolutely kill me. This is so stinking beautiful that it hurts. The love in this is, well, it lingers. And I'm not going to blubber, so somebody else is going to have to talk.
Okay. Rack and tour.
Thank you, Pretty Bird. We brought a happy one.
It's beautiful.
The thing I love about this is it's kind of like a timeline, and I like that you started, you know, when you guys were kids with the flights of fancy and fantasy that you felt comfortable sharing and how that grew. You know, the minute you mentioned the lava, I was thinking of, you know, that game that kids tend to play, you know, don't step on the rug, it's lava or whatever, so you jump front on the bed, stuff like that, and you know, right away I was there, and then it grew into the more mature, you know, things, and the comfort level of it just kind of settled in and grew, like it was always there, like it was always meant to be there, and it was a thing of, you know, again, and even that you find comforting because it's something that you know is there, so even that added to the beauty of it. It was extremely, extremely gorgeous.
Thank you, Rack. My brother and I were 14 months apart, and
we didn't live together all the time, but it was definitely still us against the world. So thank you.
And Silky, your thoughts?
Yeah, that was a beautiful tribute to your brother, and I had a little brother growing up, so I get this. We were a little bit further apart, about 3 years apart, but I love the whole fantasy angles. Him and I always loved video games growing up, so we always shared that. And then the whole I loved how you wove the fantasy stories into it. I saw a little bit of everything. I think from Lord of the Rings to the Chronicles of Narnia and maybe a few other things. And it's just beautifully done. I could feel the love for your brother throughout the whole piece. And it's just such a beautiful piece of poetry. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
All right. Rack, your thoughts?
I gave them to you.
Oh, okay. Good to know. Sometimes I fall behind. All right. Pretty Bird.
Yes,
I need your, or I need a poem from you. And then, Silky, did you bring me a poem?
Yeah, I brought one.
All right.
Well, I have one that is not a safe place, but it's where I hide. So if you want some ugly, I've got it.
Shit, your ugly is always beautiful. So give it to me, baby.
All right. There is this. Okay, this is Relentless is Lady Misery, always looking to share time. And it goes like this. Well, it's not going to go like anything because I can't see it, so I'm going to put on glasses. And then I will take my glasses. I haven't been in this room for like 2 months, and so my glasses are dusty. Give me 1 second. So sorry. Okay. I feel very old right now. Okay. Enter at your own risk. Consider yourself warned. There is nothing here you haven't seen before. A little bit of unseen noise, a lot of stabbing sound, incessant flashes of brutality, bleeding mental acuity, and epileptic responses. Enjoy the ride, slipping down the slope of self-destruction and reconstruction of yesterday's and tomorrow's responses to today's reactionary regret. Take a deep breath. Try not to choke on the stench of regurgitated emotions where each rewind wears down the edges to frayed remnants that bear the weight of 1,000 knives. Strobe light slideshow, peeling senses honed to nothing but the rot of old emotion and the blurred visions that flow in a mist of shadows, the only remembrance of light. The cracks in the floor swallow you whole. Be careful where you step, lest your bones crack in kind. In kind whipped words, flay flesh and never-ending ripping that sounds like sex and smells like, what exactly is that? A mix, oh, this is not PG-13, a mix of unwashed whatever and dead cat. Breathe, so sorry, breathe deep and remember. Remember the days where the stars shone in warm light. Remember the sounds of belly laughs and pray hard that it's enough to carry you home. It's the only way to leave this place. Shadows creep into thoughts ever so slowly, deliberately, fading that silver once found in clouds, tarnishing truth with perception, misconception, and lies. But lies lie lying around, so where does that leave the truth? Claw your eyes clean of vision and see where you should be or go. No, you will see only where you have been, where hope meets pain and doubt. That is the smell, the putrid air that is the death of dreams dreamt. Your time here is eternal. Curiosity never killed a soul, but if you learned how to mind your own damn business, you would never have come here. I will trade you my pain for a memory while they are still untainted. But that was the price of admission, wasn't it? Enjoy purgatory, endless as it is. Keep praying. I'm sure it will work like those jeweled slippers. Click 3 times and amplify the sounds that haunt your broken psyche. I must leave you now. I hope it was all you had wished to find in the company of misery. And poem.
Ah, I love you so much, my dear. This is just brilliant. A mix of unwashed whore and dead cat. What images does that bring to your...
It's right.
Oh, my God. I am stuck on that line. I just am stuck right there. I stopped listening. I just was like, unwashed whore and dead cat. Audience, please just stop and just reminisce. I just, there's something about it. This is brilliance. This is a poet everyone in the world should know because her imagery is amazing. Oh, God. I love you. Regurgitated emotions where each rewind wears down the edges to be frayed, remnants that bear the weight of a thousand knives. All right, we're past that now. Tarnishing truth with perception, misconception, and lies, but lies, lie, lying around. So where does that leave truth? There's no room. There's no fucking... Oops.
It's okay. You're allowed one F bomb and PG-13.
Okay, sorry. But that is the smell, the putrid air, that is the death of dreams dreamt. Oh. If you had learned to mind your own damn business, you would never come here. I didn't invite you. You just waltzed right in, you son of a... Just go ahead. Think you know my business. Come on in. Love the attitude of this poem. Enjoy purgatory. Because we got dead, unwashed whore, dead cat in here. Gotta love it.
You know, there's something to be said for the ambiance.
I know. I'm sure it'll work like those jewel slippers. Click three times. It'll amplify the sounds of your. I am so jealous of you sometimes. You have no idea.
I'm hoping that's for my writing and not for my actual, you know, mental conditions.
I must leave you now. I'm leaving because I can't stand to be in my own psyche. I hope it was all you had wished to find in the company of my misery because I'm leaving that bitch right here. Bye-bye. You stay. I have so much fun with your poetry and critiquing your poetry because it's so much fun because you are raw and you are honest and you are right in my face. And I sometimes see myself so much in your work and I'm like, she crawled into my brain. Not other places because I don't smell like unwashed whore or dead cat. I'm very good about that. But you know. But this is beautiful. Rackentor, your thoughts, please.
Oh, man. You know, you mentioned that line, and it made me think of, you know, that point in the movie theater when they smell, they start the wafting in the smell of the popcorn. I'm watching Dead Cat. Oh, but no, I mean, again, you know, she calls you out on your imagery with good reason. You know, you have a way of catching people's attention, you know, and it's not subtle. It's not subtle at all. It's very much in your face, and it's meant to be. And it's got an edge of attitude to it. And you know, your idea of, you know, I don't give two shits about whether you like it or not. It's just and that just adds to the beauty of it for me. You know, it's not like you're looking for excuses or empathy or anything. It's just like, you know, I'm just telling you, you know. This is my unvarnished truth, and, you know, I'm leaving now, and, you know, deal with it. you know, if you weren't Pretty Bird, I think you'd be Natural Disaster. Anyway, I really enjoyed it, and you know, it belongs on lists and front pages and things like that, and, you know, I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. You know, I'm a very private person. Not that you can tell from how I talk on these shows, but generally speaking, I'm a very private person. And so what happens is I self-isolate. Nobody needs to be burdened with my bullshit. And that's just how I've always been. I mean, people can unload on me all the time, and I will absolutely take it. I will be there. I'm good. But I tend to find it difficult to share. And so people get butt hurt when I choose not to divulge details of my whatever the hell I'm going through. And then they want to act all, but why don't you just let me in? All right, you want in? Here you go. Enjoy. And then they look at me like I'm crazy. I was like, what? You asked.
I have enjoyed every minute.
That's because you're one of the few people that when I, you know, in order to not implode, I puke things up. And so it often lands on you. So thank you.
Please.
I'm hearing the cat going.
The cat's dead.
That's the whore.
Oh, no. Oh, that was funny stuff.
Wild. I don't know how many times Sweet has said that line, but I think it might be her favorite. I was like, I hope she doesn't call on me after her comment.
What's funny is that I didn't say it
for a long time.
I know. That is the funny part. So I it's going to take a minute for me to find stuff because I wasn't reading along. I was just listening to you, I have to be honest. I often don't read along with you. I just listen. But this is a really, really well done. The part, and I found it right away. Good. Okay. I there were so many wonderful parts. I love, first of all, the way that you read it. That fast-paced beat. And I think I may have held my breath through the whole piece. So when you say, take a deep breath, try not to choke on the stench of regurgitated emotions, where each rewind winds down the edges of braid of runyon that bear the weight of 1,000 knives. It was almost uncanny because I don't think I was reading through the whole piece. But the idea, I mean, of regurgitated emotion, you know, it's funny how things could happen and then you think you heal from them or you partially heal from them, and yet they're just like scabs, you know, they're like wounds that you, when you go back to it, when you think about it, or there are moments where yeah, you're okay, and then there are moments that it's not okay, and then it's just fresh, and then it takes the whole process of healing over again. And that stanza specifically, really, really just, I mean, it says it so beautifully and yet so raw. Well, not yet, but I guess beautifully and raw. Again, there, I know that Sweet mentioned incredible metaphors. I have to agree with her. With the strobe light slideshow, peeling senses home to nothing but a rot of old emotion. Again, going back to those things that you just can't seem to recover from or keep having to recover from, which is, I feel, you know, it's often the case. You recover from them and only a moment takes till you're back in that trauma or in that situation. And I just think it's just incredible the way you put it. And it's like you can't get out. I mean, you keep going in there. The shadows creep into thoughts. And you keep this idea of remembering and breathing throughout the whole piece, which I like how you kind of like just pound that in there, and breathing and remembering. And it kind of is, again, uncanny too, because often things such as these are like when you have a panic attack or when you approach a trigger that triggers these memories, you know, often breath and remembering are the only two things that are paired. You have to try to breathe through it and as you're remembering it. So I liked how you kept with that throughout the piece. Really well done.
Thank you.
I put it on my apartment. I can't believe Sweet. You are, yes.
Oh, God, that was awesome. And Silky, your thoughts, and then you are my final poem of the night, sir.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever read a poem by Pretty Bird that hasn't been at the very least extremely good or amazing, and that right in that range. I think that's kind of her minimum area starts out at amazing, and then it just goes up from there. And I agree. I get a little bit jealous too, because she can write down with emotions so well, and I struggle with actually putting really deep emotions out there because I'm kind of private myself, and I don't know. I just sometimes I have trouble throwing up that much emotion into a poem, or that raw anyway. Usually I think if I write something emotional, it's usually after some time has passed, and I guess time has kind of dulled it a little bit. But I really dug this whole piece. And, yeah, that one stanza really did it for me. I love that, the dead cat and one washed horse stanza, entire piece. And I love down here where you had that bit of wordplay with the, what was that exactly?
The lies.
Yeah, with the glass slippers and then the purgatory. I'm trying to find the exact what it was. Oh yeah, it kind of sounded like you got a kind of a smart ass tone kind of about the, oh well, here it is, you're wanting it, here's the price of getting in to know me, and welcome to my purgatory. And it was kind of, I just kind of like that. You kind of had a smart ass tone with the darkness towards the end there, and I really dug that as well. And just the whole piece, fantastic.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime. And I actually brought one of my light and fluffy one. it's called Dreaming and Calligraphy. The prompt was the image, and I just kind of like wrote from, I guess, her point of view. It kind of like actually is a poem about her finding her happy space through writing, but here we go. Her pages sprawl with lines of fanciful calligraphy, ink dancing along veins of serendipity, where she paints constellations and glimmering stardust and weaves the planets to fit her storylines. Imagination spirals from oblivion to affinity, flirting with the edge of madness as she rides the waves of whimsy. A princess in flowing silver and sable brocade rides in her coach through dark and sinister forests, cobwebs clutching to the corners of her attic, spring into nests of monstrous spiders, and the rats she names and feeds, her pets and confidants, transmute into fleetly dressed drivers and armored guards who march alongside her carriage, riding to banquet in the halls of fairy tale princes. Rich and just kings rule over peaceful lands, and none know of want of strife. Champagne bubbles and shimmers and crystalline flutes, waltzing the grand hall floor, bell of a Beltane ball, lost in the slide and sway of the courtly soiree. She drifts to sleep, pen still in hand, and dreams of a love to sweep her away.
This is light and fluffy.
Okay. Okay, kind of. I am not going to say a word first. I'm not saying a word first. This is going directly to Sky Dark Home.
She got disconnected.
Oh, no. This is like the sky poem of all sky poems. This is beautiful. I love this. And it is light and fluffy for you. I mean, it is. It's full of imagery. I love how you had her writing about, you know, fantastical things and wizards and mice and coming alive and, you know, all of those things. I mean, it's like you walked into an imagination to talk about someone else's imagination. It's like three layers, and I thought it was just fantastic. I thought it was written beautifully, and you did a great job on it. It's not all, you know, vampires and witches and slicing of necks and kisses and all of those things. I thought you did really good, Silk. I thought it was beautiful. Pretty Bird, your thoughts on it?
Thank you, sweet.
You know, it's nice to see a place where fairy tales are born. You know, you've got your touch of Cinderella and all the whimsies. Okay, light and fluffy. There's no death and bloodletting and whatnot. So, okay, I'll give that to you. But it's a little sad, you know. You've got all of these adventures, all of these beautiful places that she goes, even in those cobweb corners with the spiders and the rats, and that they turn into her foot soldiers. But that last line kills me, you know. She spends her time writing all the life she wants to live, all the fantastical things that she can dream of, real or make-believe, it doesn't matter. She's in that world, and then she falls asleep just dreaming of a love to sweep her away. That just feels lonely. And I kind of love that. I don't know what that says about me, but I kind of love that, you know. But I tend to see things, you know, that may not necessarily be there, but I kind of love that.
Well, thank you, Pretty Bird.
You're very welcome.
And yeah, I can say half, and I think maybe I had halfway that way, and then halfway kind of like as just she likes to write so much that's where she goes to, I guess. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure, but I see it both ways, too, and, yeah, I think maybe a little half and half there. So
it's beautiful.
And, Rackentor, your thoughts?
Well, they charge extra for half and half. I thought that was great. That line from Oblivion to Infinity was brilliant. But the whole thing was lovely. I won't call it a supporting cast for that line, but, you know, that line really stuck out to me. Because you're talking about the idea of where she goes and the fantasy and the life that she builds. And I like that, you know, you had her naming the rat, too. That was, I think, from Ben or one of the other ones. I think there was like two or three of them where you know, so-and-so had their pet and, you know, it was a rat or whatever, and they named it. And that was a cool idea. But, the whole thing was a great idea. And even from the beginning, the idea of you know, calligraphy, that kind of writing, you know, it's one thing to write, you know, a poem or something like that. It's another thing entirely like to put it in that fanciful writing that nobody does anymore. You know, they talk about even script. You know, nobody writes anymore. Everything is all printed, whatever. So just to do anything by hand is a thing of elevation and beauty. But to even make it even more elevated and do that extra little bit of artwork is just, you know, another touch to the intensity of what you're talking about and the emotion behind it. I thought this was a very emotional piece, and yes, very light and fluffy piece.
And Hatter, did you call in just to say
goodnight?
Thank
you, Rackentor.
Basically, yeah, I didn't know what time it was. I just called as soon as I could. But yeah, K-Man brings it. It's all about the words. You know, like glimmering and shimmering, two great poetic words. It's all here. Well done.
Yeah, Silk, you did a good job with that one.
Yeah, thank you.
Not vampire.
Yeah.
Not vampire-y at all.
No sabers, daggers.
Yeah.
Wolverine Stardust.
I love that one from you. It was awesome. And you missed. I got to tell you about my new favorite line from Pretty Bird. You got to go back and read her poem on the board. She has a line in there that says,
"Unwashed."
It smelled like whore and dead cat.
Unwashed.
Unwashed whore and dead cat.
Well, we all know what that smells like, right?
You got to read that poem, Hatter. It's fabulous. Read the one on the board, "Unwashed whore and dead cat." That's my new go-to. Listen, you smell like unwashed whore and dead cat. Get out of my face. Yes.
One horn goat named
Great.
Joe.
It's better than one horn goat named Joe. Yes. All right. Thank you guys. I had a fabulous time tonight. You guys all rocked. Thank you for being there. I need you all. You are part of my hideaway, part of my sanity. thank you, AP Poetry Foundation, for sponsoring Team of Voices and making sure we all stay sane. You've been listening to Sweet Discussions on a Blog Talk Radio through All Poetry and Team of Voices. Good night, everybody. Have a wonderful day tomorrow. Have a great weekend wherever you are in the world. I hope you're safe. And I will talk to you all again soon.
Thank you, Susan. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.